You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for this opportunity to bring this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will into your homes, your cars, your places of work, wherever you may be. So we're just so grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. We're going to begin with prayer as we always do, and our prayer is going to be a supplication. The supplication is taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. It's day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love that supplication to our Blessed Mother. And why should we not? Remember what our Catholic Catechism states, Article 507, quote, "At once, Mary is the symbol and the most perfect realization of the Church," end quote. So how could we not want to emulate her, follow in her footsteps? Well, today we have with us the sisters, Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will, coming to us live via live stream from Italy, I believe, from one location today. And that's a good thing. That means there's more time to talk. Hello, sisters. Think you're muted, maybe? Try it now. No. You may have to go out and maybe come back in again. Just don't see the... Don't see the icon. Oh, wait, here we go. How about now? I think we're going to have it. No, not yet. Not yet. Well, while we're waiting, go ahead, sisters, you can keep continuing. While we're waiting for the sisters to connect, what a great day today. We've got the feast of St. Josephine Bakita. Again, I knew a little bit about, but I didn't know much about, but great, great lesson as always in all our beautiful saints that have gone before us and those saints that are going to come after us. Her lesson, we talk about this often. We talk about, Now I can.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Say, well, let me just finish this real quick, Claude, and then we'll go to you.
Yeah.
The Saint Bakita today, she emulates and exemplifies to us what we talked about, sisters, many times on this program. We talk about that we're going to be grateful. At the end of everything, we're going to be very grateful to everything that our Lord has allowed to happen. All of his permissible will that combined, although at the moment perhaps didn't look very good, didn't feel very good, but we know that he promises to bring a greater good of it. And she exemplified that, being sold into slavery. Some of her captives were very, very mean, very, very physically, torturing her. And but she made it through this process. She became a religious sister, and she had the peace and joy of Christ. And then she made that statement. I don't know the exact quote, but she says, everything that has happened to her, she prays for all those people that have allowed her to take this journey, especially those whom treated her the most harshly. She thanked them for again, because if it wasn't for their ill actions, she would not have been redirected into the direction that she went. And again, she was able to be pushed into where God wanted her to be aligned perfectly with her, although she didn't have access to the divine will, she had the best that was available to her at the time. And that's why it's so incredible that how God has given us even a greater opportunity if we want it. And again, we're so blessed. Sister?
She was A soul so simple, so humble because of her life, the kind of her life. And we can see that she was the fertile land for God, for make good spiritual working in her soul. And I can tell a story about a little story about Saint Paquita. And I heard this in a catechesi online. And one time the bishop went to visit the monastery where she lived. And the bishop was asking to all the sisters what they were doing in the monastery about their life, this specific work they do they did in the monastery. And when he asked to Paquita, she answered, "Bishop, Excellency, I do what you do." And the bishop say, how you can do what I do? I am a minister of the church. I do the will of God." So each person in the church has a different ministry, different charism. But the most important thing is to stay in the will of God. Yes, for sure, I don't think she knows about the writing of Louisa, but the meaning was the same.
Right. You know, Sister, really, really quickly, you mentioned something about, you know, us all having a role, all of us having a part. In essence, Jesus sometimes calls it an office. And there's no office that's greater or lesser than the other. They're all equal in their own way. And I think I know in my own life that again, if we're running a race like St. Paul exemplifies, you know, it's good to stay in our lane. When I start to drift out of my lane into someone else's lane, that's when I start to get into problems. So if God has given us a grace or a mission or a vocation, like, for example, in the course of what you sisters have, you know, you followed the course, you stayed in your lane, and you allowed God, again, he's not going to force you there, but he guided you gently to where you needed to be. It's when we start to fight the will of God. And what is the will of God? Well, the will of God is God, again, God's permissible will. Now, again, I'm not talking about a situation where we're intentionally taking ourselves into a near occasion of sin or something that's not good. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the goodness of life. If we allow God to be our raft and take us down these rough, turbulent waters, he's going to take us safely down the river. He's going to take us down the river, and he's going to park us where we need to be. So that takes a lot of trust. That takes a lot of faith, because we think we're in charge and we know what to do always. And that's not the case.
Yes, the important thing is always to be awake in a spiritual way and to cooperate to the grace of God, because all that we do, it's all the grace that we receive from God for making good things. We cannot do anything without him. And I can try to have a link with this meditation with this part of the volume of Louisa is volume 10, February 4, 1911. And I think it's so simple, these passages, but they can help us to have trust, not more in us, like a person in ourself, but in the relation that we can have with Jesus. And through this relation, we can see ourselves with the new eyes, like what we are in the baptism. We are children of God. And in this sense, we have to trust in our relation to make every time a better relation with God. We can have a lack of trust in us, and is the fount of bad things, bad actions, bad thoughts. And it's important to have a good opinion in this relation that we have with Jesus, so in ourselves, always like children of God. And sometimes also Louisa have lament to herself. Sometimes we can say that we have the same experience. And these passages can help us to have the good perspective. Other times, as I would lament, he would say in my ear, "But all of a sudden, Louisa, you are my paradise on earth, and your love renders me happy." And I, "Jesus, my love, what are you saying? Do you want to make fun of me? You are already happy because of yourself. Why do you say that you are happy because of me?" And he, "Listen to me carefully, my daughter, and you will comprehend what I am telling you. There is no created thing which does not receive life from my heart. All creatures are like many cords that come from my heart and have life from me. But by necessity and naturally, everything they do is all reflected in my heart, be it even one movement. As a consequence, if they do evil, if they do not love me, they give me continuous bother. That chord resounds in my heart, which sounds of displeasures, of bitterness, of sins, and forms it such lugubrious sounds has to render me unhappy on the part of that chord of life that comes from me. On the other hand, if it loves me and is all intent in containing me, that chord gives me continuous pleasures and forms festive and sweet sounds which harmonize with my own life. And on the part of that chord, I enjoy so much as to be rendered happy and to enjoy my own paradise because of it. If you comprehend well all this, you will no longer say that I make fun of you. So it's so simple, but it's so profound at the same moment. And what we are telling before, we have to cooperate with Jesus in our relation to make more, not how holy this relation, but also more fun, because we are children. We have to be happy. And every time we make, so we are so connected with him, because the center of our life is God. So everything we do is a reflection in the heart of God. If we have a bad thought, if we have a, we do a bad action, is a bad reflection in God. So in this sense, we have to trust, not, I repeat, not in ourselves because of ourselves, but because we are children of God, because we have to comprehend that the good, that the our heart is, comes from God. So every time we grow in this relation, we can give happy and happiness and joy also to God.
And you know, sister, I think that's really, really important, because I think a lot of times in our faith and on our journey, we forget that. You know, God says we have to be children for a myriad of different reasons. Again, children have that just unending respect for the elders. They have their belief in whatever is being told to them as being true. They're not questioning everything. So we need that. But the fun to be childlike, I think, is to show God again. We're children. And I love when you also, when you mentioned that all of this, when you read, is from God's heart. It's not from his creative mind only. It's from his heart. So he loves everything equally. You know, having fun, I remember there's an American businessman. He's now deceased. His name is Daniel Carnegie. He founded a lot of really big businesses. He was a very, very wealthy multimillionaire. He made a comment once. He says, unless you're doing something in life that is fun and that you enjoy, you will never be good at it. I mean, I'm paraphrasing a bit there, but it's true. Because if we're in a demeaning job, or if we're in an area where we're dismayed and we're not happy, we're not pleasant, how can we can live, we can be alive, but we're not going to thrive. We've been born to thrive. And again, we have to, yes, we have to make the best out of any environment we're in. But again, to be childlike, sometimes I say childish. I say, no, don't be childish. Well, it's a borderline there. I mean, you could be a little childish, still having some responsibility, but we have to be childlike. Again, if this is from God's heart, we have to take what's from his heart, allow it to permeate in our heart, which is easy because he's going to do it for us, and then give it right back to God.
Yeah, but also if we think about Our Lady, she was full of grace, but this fullness came from the continuous changes, exchanges of love between her and God. So if we enter in this perspective, we can understand that nothing comes from us, but all comes for us from the relation that we have with God, for everything, also for the beat of our heart.
Well said. Thank you, Sister. Yeah. Hello, Sister Gemma.
Hello, Peter. Hello, everyone. I think the problem is that sometimes we take ourselves too much serious. And if we just relax a bit, we will have that relationship comes automatically. And yes, we have to be like children. And I think at least for me, the secret is to have this kind of relationship is to realize that Jesus is there, is really there next to you, next to all of us, and he's not the one who's sending us the crosses or if we fall or if we do a mistake or a sin, is there pointing the finger to us. No, absolutely, this is what we usually do to ourselves or to other people, and then we see Jesus that way because we are that way. So we have to build this relationship with Jesus and with all the Trinity, with God the Father and with the Holy Spirit too, like to talk to them, to talk like he's present there because he is. And then our relationship change. And then when we go to do adoration, it's not just an hour that it never ends, but it will... You have the impression that you sit there and then an hour just flew and you say, wow, where did the hour go? Because if you have that kind of relationship, talking to Jesus as you talk to your best friend or as you talk to your wife or husband, then you enjoy the time with Jesus. And I think it's also important to open completely your heart to Jesus, to tell him everything, all the things that even the things that you think are the silliest things, just tell him. He's there listening, because what do we do when we go out with our friends? We just tell even the simplest things, even the things that seems not important. So we have to start to have this kind of relation with Jesus. And thinking about Bakita, that today it's her feast day, and I think she was a beautiful saint because she suffered much. She really carried the cross. And I mean, there is a beautiful movie. I don't know if it's completely true, all the things that it's in the movie, but I'm sure she suffered a lot. And that's only the cross is the things that can change us, that make us beautiful and make us holy. This morning I was reading the Passion book, and there was a sentence that it really struck me, and it's from the 18th hour, and when Jesus said to the cross, O cross, beloved and longed for, you alone will save my children, and I concentrate in you all of my love. And when I read this sentence, I was thinking of the meaning of this sentence, O cross, beloved and longed for, you alone will save my children. And this is so true, because only the cross make us holy. Only with the cross that we can go in heaven. Without cross, we don't go to heaven. So we have to accept it well. We have to ask the grace to accept it well. We have many people who ask us to pray for because they're sick or they have serious problem or different problems, and we pray for these people, but I was thinking this morning, probably the best prayer is to pray that they accept the cross and they accept all the graces that that cross will bring to that person, because the cross brings graces, as it say here, and I concentrate in you all my love in the cross. So the suffering, yes, it's hard, it's not easy. But at the same time, you have during the when you are suffering, at the same time you are also have some peace inside. You have some sweetness that comes with that cross, And of course, again, this is a grace that we have to ask Jesus the grace every time, to that we can suffer the cross that He sent us. And when He give us a cross, He doesn't give us a cross and leave it and leave us there. No, He will give us the instructions how to carry the cross. But not only the instruction, He is the instructor. So we have just to follow Him. He brought the cross before us, so we just have to look at Him and be with Him, and then we will be okay. There are many saints who brought the cross, and they became so beautiful because of the cross that they carried. And there are so many, like, I don't know, Bequita is one of that, and Luisa or Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She suffered a lot during her earthly life, but at the same time, she was so beautiful because she was carrying the cross with Jesus. So we don't have to be scared. We just have to go, keep going, and look at Him, and have this relationship with Jesus, and tell Him when it's heavy. We just have to tell Him, Jesus is heavy, help me more, and He will.
You know, sister, also Jesus, so understanding. I mean, look at the way He shows us by example early on in history. You know, when the vast majority of people perhaps cannot read and write, but they can see it being acted out, so you can see the suffering, you can learn the lessons. But now, through the gift of living the divine will, now He's explicating everything that's already been given to us. He's not adding to public revelation or just subtracting from it, but He's just allowing it to be better understood. It's Article 66 of our Catholic Catechism, which states, although no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for the future generations to better understand what has already been given. So again, it's not an extra, it's just an extra insight that you may want to say, and He's doing it in words. For example, this is one that astonishes me. This is from volume 3, and again, this in the Italian translation, has the Church's imprimatur, and the Elapsed. Volume 3, December 2nd, 1899, Jesus states, quote, "The cross is so powerful that when I communicated so much grace to it, it became more effective than the sacraments themselves."
Yeah,
end quote. And a lot of that is because of conditioning the efficacy of the Eucharist, although it is totally the most powerful, it's the divine will in essence, it's subject to our lack of disposition, which mitigates its effectiveness. Where the divine will through the cross, God strips us of all that, it's pure, it's total, we get the full brunt in essence of the power of God's grace. Sister?
Yeah, and also most of the people, they get close to Jesus after the cross. I'm sure everyone heard the people saying, "I thank Jesus for that cancer that I got, for that time that I was in prison, for everything, because that cross, that specific cross, brought me back to Jesus." So it's, yeah, the cross is a gift. It really is a gift.
Sometimes we have to be brought to our knees to be able to be in a position to look up, sister.
Yeah. And yes, we know a lot about the cross through the writings of Luisa, but there is also a testimony in Santa, we say in Italian, Santa Gianna Beretta Molla. And she was, she has a cancer. She was married. She has, three or four children already, and she was pregnant, and she discovered a cancer at the utero. And so she cannot have the surgery because she chose to give birth to her daughter. And after the daughter was born, she was very near the dead. And on the bed, the husband was near to her. And she told him, "Do you don't know what I see?" Because she was very near between heaven and earth. And she told him, "You didn't know what I see. What did you see? I can't tell you, but I can tell you this. I see heaven. I see so much light, but they bring me back to earth because we cannot enter there without suffering. And she's so powerful. One time I heard in a charismatic meeting, a charismatic priest say, every time we pray for the couple they cannot have baby, we always ask the intercession of Santa Gianna Beretta Molla. And every time we pray to her, also the husband become pregnant. She's so powerful.
So we got two miracles there. Hello, Sister Elizabeth.
Oh, hi.
But I'm also going to say at the same time, goodbye, Sister Elizabeth, because we have to go to break. So you're listening to Radio
okay,
Maria,
goodbye,
a Catholic voice in our home. I'm going to leave us with volume 3, August 3rd, 1900. This is Jesus explained to Louisa, but explained to us also. Each and every one of us has the opportunity to do this. Jesus tells Louisa and us, quote, my daughter, why do you look for me outside of yourself while you can find me more easily inside of yourself? End quote. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to that other side. Finally.
Seen the tables turn, I'm on.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, once again, Radio Maria, for, again, this opportunity to bring the gift of living in the divine will on the air. So it's just amazing. We're in the air that we, all of us who share this ministry, you know, presenters, operation, listeners, we're all, again, we all have equal offices. There's no office greater than the other. But, you know, the beautiful thing about this is it comes free of outside influence. You know, there's a banker of yesteryear by the name of Rothschild. He was very, very powerful, very influential. And he said, give me control of the money. I care not who makes the laws. Because he knew that he would be able to influence whomever he wished, when he wished, through money. Radio Maria accepts no money from the outside. They're not vendor supported. No one's driving an agenda through Radio Maria. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. You can't buy that in today's day and age. But that does mean there's a need, and there's a need that we can all participate in. We can all be part of this ministry in whatever way we can. And again, we can give spiritually. We can give financially. We can all give spiritually. Some of us have been blessed financially. Again, that's not our money. It's God's money. And money's not bad, depending on how we use it. So if you can, please, if you're looking to do your spring cleaning, it's only February. It's going to be cold for a while. So hold off on renting that dumpster to clean out the attic or the basement. Use the money toward the Mariathon, the Lenten Mariathon, which begins on Monday, February 26th and concludes on Friday, March 1st. You'll hear more about this. But please give. And in the interim, if you'd like to get a jump start on this, please do so. You can do so by calling Radio Maria at 888-408-0201. That's 888-408-0201. Or simply go to radiomaria.us and click on the Donate Now button. And anyone making a donation, whether you're listening to this live or in the archives, will receive from the School of Mary a Luisa Picchetta relic card. It's a prayer card which includes a piece of Luisa's clothing, which is incredible. Again, we know how the tassels of our Lord's garment that healed the woman, the hemorrhaging woman, was that the beginning? Was that the introduction of the relic of the beauty of the sacramentals? We don't know, but we have a piece of Luisa's clothing that I'm sure would be an added sacramental to anyone's religious library. So please, if you can, radiomaria.us, click on the Donate Now button, or simply go or call 888-408-0201. Please be generous if you can. God knows what you can do and he knows what you cannot do. So the good news is, if you can't give, he knows that. But if you can give, he's watching. Okay, back to Sister Elizabeth, because we seem to go to Sister Elizabeth every time we are running out of time. So the beautiful part about this, though, Sister, is we're beginning fresh the second half of the program, and you've pretty much have free for all. So to you, Sister. I think you're muted. Let me see. Try it out. Muni's a good
okay,
thing.
Can you hear
there
me now?
There we go. Perfect.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, great. Okay. I'm happy. I'm beginning on a second part, not like being squeezed. But yeah, that's my cross, I guess. Just joking. But what you were saying before, there's a passage also. Now, I don't remember which, but Jesus telling to Lisa, I will help those who help you. He said, rest assured, those who help those living in a divine will, Jesus is also showering with graces, with an abundance of graces. It's a divine will economy. it's God's economy is different than ours, really. His ways are so much higher than our ways. And speaking about what you mentioned before, Peter, you said that you can't be good in something that you don't like first. How did you say that?
It was a quote from Daniel Carnegie. To be successful in something, you must love what you do.
Yeah, exactly.
You must love it. You must enjoy it. Want to do it, I guess.
Like, you need to have a desire for it, a drive, a love for it. And I here have a passage that actually recently I I read that passage, but another part about spontaneity, how God does not love force, but spontaneity. Spontaneity, how do you pronounce it? Spontaneity?
Spontaneity, yeah, being spontaneous. Spontaneity.
Okay. From volume 35, February 7, 1938. Jesus telling to us through Luisa, "My daughter, we have never liked forced things or a forced will. Actually, we don't even want these things. They are very human and do not fit with our love and with our works. All is spontaneity and fullness of will. We want to good, we long for it, and we do it. And we do it with such fullness of love and grace that nobody can match us, to the extent that if we don't see spontaneity and the willingness to receive the good that we want to do in the creature, we don't do anything. At the most, we wait, letting her hear our sighs, our anxiety. But we don't move to operate, not before we see her disposed with love to receive the work of her creator." So Jesus is telling us here like how much important is the desire. And yeah, the spontaneity, like, I mean, if you program things like the Pharisees were doing, like they had it all calculated with different rules and laws, and they just lost connection with this inner desire for God inside themselves, this inner drive. And there's another passage which I don't know which now at the moment, which says, Jesus says, you always do something out of love, whether it is for good things or for bad things. You know, someone may love sin, maybe like obstinate in sin because that's his primary love, you know, or doing evil. I mean, even the demons, they love to do evil. The devil loves evil, you know, everything that's opposite of God. So the primary force is like this desire, love for something, the attraction to something. And so at the fall, like these human desires became the inverted, distorted, not pure like at the beginning. And so that's why we were talking about cross before, how much cross is important, this redemptive value of suffering. And and I just read also recently from the first volume how Luisa received a bigger cross than the one that she had before, and it was shown to her in a vision before, like the cross that was so big. And and it was I think Saint John the Evangelist who brought it from heaven to her, you know, accompanied by Jesus and our Blessed Mother and angels and saints, and they were all rejoicing, all heaven was rejoicing. And like sisters were saying before, and yeah, you mentioned, Peter, that too, like how much from volume 3, how much grace is put in the cross. And so in everything, in like in joys and in suffering, Jesus wants this spontaneity. I'm never sure if I pronounce it right. Spontaneity,
but you know what, we know what you mean. And again, I mention this often, ESL, English second language, I would never know. All three of your sisters, English is your second language, I would never know it. I'm sure our listening audience would never know it. Whenever you mention it, then we, oh yeah, that's right. But that's even more amazing. So again, we're just so thankful that that you are so articulate, that we can understand you, as you speak multiple languages and I don't.
But we will just accept the compliment with spontaneity.
That's good. You know, sister, I love that phrase you said about lost connection of the inner drive. And that reminded me a bit before we make the second round. I'm sorry, sister, were you going to say something? Did I say, what was I interfering with your thought?
No, I was listening, but I was thinking to try to connect the
okay,
second.
Okay, well, why connect it first, and then I can.
Okay, and I was thinking it before we were telling that sometimes we lament on ourselves because we have the wrong image of ourselves, and usually it happens because we live in a worldly way. We live outside of us, and is it so important to live through the cross the purification of the soul, and through the cross Jesus bring ourselves in ourselves, because we have to discover the divine life that he's in us, the divine indwelling in us. So the passage is purification, and so through purification we enter in ourselves, we discover the spiritual life, we enter in a deep relation with Jesus, and the second position is obedience. Obedience is also, yes, the spontaneously, but also to accept the cross with all our will, and to accept obedience, because Jesus, we have to imitate him. And he did all for obedience. He died for obedience. He incarnated himself for obedience. So we cannot skip obedience. So I connect my meditation with from volume 5. Volume 5 is October 24, 1903. And I introduced the contest, and Luisa another time was lamenting on herself because she was thinking that her state of victim was not true. So she was asking to her spiritual director to try to go out. And she said, as I told the confessor about my conscience, that my state may not be will of God, and that at least as a test, I wanted to try to make an effort to go out of it and see whether I could manage or not without raising his usual difficulties. The confessor said, all right, tomorrow you will try. So I was left as if I had been freed of an enormous weight. Now, after he celebrated Holy Mass and I received communion, I saw my adorable Jesus as my interior for just a little. At that moment, I found myself outside of myself, inside a room in which there was a lady majestic and venerable, but gravely infirm. She was inside a bed with a head bored so high as to almost touch the vault, and I was forced to stay over this headboard in the arms of a priest. Before, we were telling that it's not important a big action or a small action. We all have to do in divine will. But in this situation, she's doing a big action, because in this situation, she was on the top of this headboard. So she was sustaining this lady. And we know, because we already read the passages, this lady was a symbol, the figure of the church, was sick. And she was sustained, this lady, in her state of victim. But in what way? She was in the arm of a priest. And this is the figure of the obedience. So, and she was trying to get out of this situation, because she was saying, oh, I can go out. I can go, I can leave the arms of the priest. I can go down to the bed near the lady to help in a better way. So she was trying to go down. She leave the arms of the priest, but the lady was in a wrong situation. So she, in one sense, she was following her human will. And at the end of the passages, we can read, then I find myself inside myself. And Jesus told me, sorry. And Jesus told me in my interior, sorry. If I suspend you forever, the enemies will begin to make my church shed blood. And I, Lord, it is not that I do not want to stay. Heavens forbid that I move away from your will, even for the blinking of an eye. Only if you want me to, I will stay. If you don't want me to, I will get out. And he, my daughter, As soon as the confessor released you by telling you, all right, tomorrow you will try, the bond of victim was also released, because only the freeze of obedience is what constitutes the victim, and I will never accept her as such a, without this freeze, even at the cost of making a miracle of my omnipotence, if necessary, to give light to the one who directs you so that he will give this obedience. So in any case, big actions, little actions, we have to stay in the relation, deep relation with Jesus, with the pure heart, because with the pure heart, we are able to discern the will of God. Because if our mind, if our will intellect, they are not clear, we cannot do, we cannot follow in our will the will of God. But if we purify ourselves, if we go in deep relation with Jesus, if we live in our deep part of our heart, and we, if we follow the church and follow the obedience through the person that Jesus sent to us, we are truly in the will of God. It's not a, only a desire. It's not something is so concrete. It's so very concrete. We have to do, not to only imagine to do the will of God. It's important to read the books, but to put in action.
That's so true. But it's a little bit different than the way the saints operated, because the saints did, and whatever they did, that's who they became known for. God says, I want to change that all around. I want you to be first. I want you to embrace this divine will and then go out and do it, because I'm going to take this entire endeavor to a greater degree, another dimension, something we cannot do, but he can do on behalf of our acts. And again, that's what God is doing. So he's raising the stake. And I love also, just before we go to Sister Gemma, when Sister Elizabeth was talking about the lost connection to this inner drive, I was thinking about an old car that when you try to go really, really fast from a docile speed, your transmission may slip, but it doesn't start to recalibrate and sort of acclimate itself to the new speed. It takes some time. And Jesus in the past has always, we mentioned this, he's using parables, he's using examples, he's using demonstrations, because again, to read was not, that was not the majority. And I think the beautiful thing was, like, for example, let's say, and today was a great day. We had the Paquita, the Feast of Paquita, but we also had the gospel today, where I think there's so many lessons to be learned. You know, here we've got this predominantly Jewish movement, and Jesus wants to express and teach his apostles that, no, this is for everybody. So what does he do? He goes to a Gentile place. He says, I don't want any disturbances. Don't tell anyone I'm here, because this lesson is really, the benefit of this whole exercise is really for the apostles. And then he has this exchange with the Greek woman that's asking for this healing. And Jesus says, no, this is for the children first. I must feed the children first, meaning that the first were, of course, the Israelis. They were the first. But then she's very, very keen, and her faith allows her to say something to the effect that, well, but even the dogs eat the scraps from the children's table. I mean, very, very clever, meaning that, well, this really can be for everyone without invalidating your sort of order of work. And so again, she's being taught a lesson. The apostles are being taught that this is for everyone. The healing occurs. And again, everything is open, and really very few words have been explained, but it's all through action. It's all through faith. And that's where God had to do the majority of the teaching in the past. Now he's put everything in writing through Louisa. So we have everything to read, everything to listen to, everything to format in our minds. We don't have to just see it. We can intellectualize it, and then hopefully it can permeate our heart. Sisters?
Yeah, that's so true. Just to connect it to what Sister Teresa was saying before, we basically have to abandon ourselves to into the arms of Jesus, and then he will do everything. There is a short few sentences here that I was reading, and I share it with you. And it say, if she does not, she, it means the human will, if she does not give herself into our hands, in a way that we cannot handle her, as we want to give her the form established by us in order to complete our designs, and so exhaust ourselves with forming our complete act. We cannot give what we want to, hardly the crumbs, the sparks of our love, because the human volition remains always in the act of rejecting us and of struggling with us. Therefore, when we find a will that lends itself, we abound, superabound, so much in giving that we place ourselves over her more than a mother over her baby. So that's simple. We just need to live in the arms of Jesus, and we need to let him mold us, and then we will be perfectly made, because he's the one who will mold us, but we need to let us him to be mold. No, oh, yeah, we need that. We need to be molded.
That's true. That's true. But to be molded, if we're clay, we need to be moistened. We can't be hard. We can't be rigid. And that's why we have to be able to bend as God takes us. You know, before I turn it back to you, sisters, you know, the whole gospel today, the whole day today, you know, we're talking about God showing his vision for an inclusive church. This church, his church, is for everyone. So is the divine will. Yes, it came through Louisa, but it's for each and every one of us. And I'm going to close, before going back to you, with the quote from Volume 11, September 25th, 1913. This is Jesus speaking to Louisa and also speaking to us. He said, quote, "My daughter, I had to do this in such a way that this sanctity, this gift of the divine will, might be easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. This had to be easy and accessible in all conditions, in every circumstance, and in every place," end quote. So again, available to all, will not be forced on anyone. Anyone can say yay, anyone can say no, but of course he wants everyone, just like he showed us the example with the Greek woman in Tyre. Again, church was for everyone. It started out as a Jewish church, but it was always to be inclusive. He started with one group with the divine will. He started with one person, Louisa, but it's for each and every one of us. If we want it, if we don't want it, God will respect our free will as well. Final thoughts, sisters. We've got about 3 minutes.
I was thinking how much true is the what Sister Gemma was telling. We have to be molded by Jesus, also doing what is our part. Because we say before, all we can do is we can do because of Jesus. Also making sacrifice. We need help. From Volume 34, July 4, 1936. "My poor mind cannot be without going around and flying in the divine volition, and my poor human will feels as though under the pressure of the divine will. And I thought to myself, ah, yes, it is beautiful. One feels the victory, the triumph, the dominion, the happiness, the beautiful conquest of the living in the divine volition. But the human will, while it feels alive, must die continuously. And this is the sacrifice of sacrifice. This is what we have to do, but it's not easy. It's almost impossible, because it's so strange. We have to be lived, but without life." And at the end he said, "It's so, this sacrifice, this is the sacrifice of sacrifice, so much so that it takes the perennial life, the continuous miracle of my divine volition, in order to be able to endure this sacrifice, which is such that in the face of it, other sacrifices can be called shadows, pictures, paintings, or a game of children who cry for nothing." So this is our part to give our fiat, to die to our will. But also in this, we need the help of God. We need to be molded.
I love that. A group of children that cry for nothing.
Yeah.
I really like that. Well, again, we've come to the end. We've got about a minute left. I'd like to end with something that not only helps us spiritually, but also maybe will help us understand the importance of charity when it comes to assisting in the operating needs of Radio Maria. This comes from Volume 1. There are no dates in Volume 1, and this is just what Jesus says, quote, "So going again back to faith, I say, in order to obtain, one must believe. Just as for the head without the sight of the eyes, everything is darkness. Everything is confusion. So much so that if one wanted to walk, he would stumble now at one point, now at another, and would end up falling. The same for the soul without faith. She does nothing but go from precipice to precipice. But faith serves as the light of the soul, and this light guides her to charity. Whereas all virtues are grafted to one without the other, charity is the one that brings hope, that now is the substance, that now is the light, and now is our faith." So it all starts with charity. It connects all the virtues, and we need to be charitable. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Radio Maria. Thank you, sisters, for your vocation and for your wonderful program. Couldn't do it without you.
Thank you. Thank you, Peter. Thank you to everyone. Bye.
God bless. Love everyone.
God bless you. Ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to the Radio Maria podcasts. It's thanks to listeners like you who donate that enable us to continue delivering quality content to listeners around the world. If you'd like to contribute and help us keep spreading the message of Our Lady's Son, please consider making a donation. You can reach us at 888-408-0201 or simply visit our donations tab on our website at radiomaria.us. Your generosity truly makes a difference. This has been a Radio Maria production.